Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 47, The Song of the Bee, text number 14. Is that what's on the board? Kem Iha Shad or Shat Angre Gayasi Twam Yadunam Adipatim Agrihanam Agrata Na Puranam Vijaya Saka Sakinam Dhyatam Tat Prasanga Shapita Kucha Rucha Te Kalpayanti Ishtam Ishta. Kemihabahu sarangre gayasi tvam yadunam. Aripatim agrihanam agrato na puranam. Vijaya saka sakinam gyatam tat prasanga. Shapita kucha ruchas te kalpayantishtam ishta. Iha here. Bahu much. Shat angre. O bee, 6 footed one. Well, at least we learned the bees at 6 feet. We learned something today. Gayasi are singing. Twam you. Yadunam of the Yadus. Adipatim about the master. Agrihanam, who have no home. Agrata, in front of us. Na, us. Puranam, old. Vijaya, of Arjuna. Saka, of the friend. Sakinam, for the friends. Gyatam should be sung. Tat of him. Prasanga, the topics. Shapita, relieved. Kucha, of whose breasts. Ruja, the pain. Te, they. Kalpayanti, will provide. Ishtam, the charity you desire. Ishta, his beloved. Translation purport by Prabhupada's disciples. O B, why do you sing so much about the Lord of the Yadus in front of us homeless people? These topics are all news to us. Better you sing about that friend of Arjuna in front of his new girlfriends, the burning desire of whose breasts he has now relieved. Those ladies will surely give you the charity you are begging. Please repeat. O B, why do you sing here so much about the Lord of the Yadus in front of us homeless people? These topics are all news to us.
These topics are all news to us.
Better you sing about that friend of Arjuna in front of his new girlfriends. The burning desire in whose breasts he has now relieved. Those ladies will surely give you the charity you are begging. Purport. With the words Agrihanam Agrito Na, Radharani laments that even though she and the other gopis gave up their homes to love Krishna and a conjugal relationship, the Lord left them and became a prince in the great royal city of the Yadus. Besides meaning Arjuna the victor, the word Vijaya also directly indicates Sri Krishna, who is always victorious in his endeavors. And besides meaning old news, the word Puranam also indicates that Sri Krishna is glorified in the ancient Vedic scriptures of that name. In this verse, we observe in Radharani's mood the seed of jealous anger, which arises from an apparent disdain for Krishna, accompanied by a sarcastic, sidelong glance directed toward him. Thus, this verse fits the following description of Vijalpa from the Ujjvala Nilamani. Vyaktayasuraya Vyaktayasuyaya Guda Mana Mudranta Ralaya Agadvishi Katakshoktir Vijalpa Vidushamata. According to learned authorities, Vijalpa is sarcastic speech that is addressed to the killer of the Aga, and that openly expresses jealousy while at the same time hinting at one's angry pride. Repeat the verse again. Kim ki miha bahu sharangre kayasi tvam yarunam adipati magrihanam agrato naparanam Vijaya saka sakinam gayatam tat prasanga shapita kucha rujaste kalpat antitstam ishta. Obi, why do you sing so much here? Why do you sing here so much about the Lord of the Yadus in front of us homeless people? These topics are all news to us. Better you sing about the friend of Arjuna in front of his new girlfriends, the burning desire of whose breasts he has now relieved. Those ladies will surely give you the charity you are begging. Maam Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimati Bhakti Viranta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatun Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskya Tiyade Satarana. Happy to be here again. Last time I was here, we were reading from the description of autumn. Now we're up to the song of the bee. It was actually easier to talk from the description of autumn than from the song of the bee. Because here we find Srimati Radharani, who we've heard about often. She's expressing her emotions and specifically the platform of most exalted, Ujjvala Rasa. Not only Ujjvala Rasa, but we ourselves were aspiring to eventually come to the platform of Prema Bhakti, which is not very easy to come to. First, we have to pass through the stages of the Shuddha, a little faith. Practically speaking, devotional service is developed on the basis of faith. Faith means, sad means the heart, and da means the foot. First of all, we're trying to learn how to pay attention. Now, specifically when we're performing sadhana bhakti, we're learning how to pay attention. For instance, some part of sadhana bhakti, we may be more likely to pay attention than others. If we're chanting japa, We're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we're trying to learn how to pay attention to the holy name. First of all, to chant it so it is the holy name. So we can hear something Hare and Krishna, it'll remind us something about Krishna. Then, of course, we're trying to chant to Krishna and to Srimati Radharani, calling out for them. And there may be, if we're chanting mechanically, just to get our rounds done, or chanting unconsciously, because we're not very much aware of what we're doing, then of course we won't go much beyond simply chanting something that's similar to the holy name. And with a little knowledge, we may advance that Krishna is God, and if we ask Him for something, He can give it to us. Then we have to figure out, what do we want to ask Him for? And if we're not very conscious of what we're asking for, we generally ask for something material. We have so many problems in the material world. The material world generally means two things, ignorance and passion. In ignorance, we find ourselves in difficulty. In other words, we think we're in difficulty, because we think we're this body. That's called ignorance. And the body certainly is in difficulty. Some of the difficulties we're conscious of, and some of the difficulties we're unconscious of. Some of them we're trying to become conscious of, and some of them we're always repressing. For instance, the main difficulty is we're going to die. Another depressing class. Reminding us again we're going to die. But no one really believes or takes seriously that they're going to die. So we repress it in the back of our mind that I'm not going to die, and nor will my body's going to die. Because somehow or another I'm eternal and I'm going to maintain this body eternally. So that's one problem. There may be other minor problems like what to eat today, and where am I going to sleep? There may be some other minor problems. I'm missing a button, where to find the button. So we're trying to avoid problems, making sure that we button our clothes up nicely so we don't break the buttons, because it's hard to get good buttons nowadays. So there may be things we're trying to avoid. We look both ways before we cross the street. So we pay some attention like that, trying to avoid unwanted problems. And when we finally get together all our problems, working day and night for months at a time, save up enough money to go on vacation for 2 weeks, we're going to try not to avoid problems for 2 weeks, we're going to try to enjoy for 2 weeks. After trying to solve as many problems as possible, getting somewhat comfortable, then we want to increase the comfort. That's called enjoyment. Or enjoyment means forget about all the problems, take some intoxication, and forget about the problems. That's enjoyment. But this is all more or less based upon different degrees of ignorance. When we come to the mode of goodness, then we can find out what actually to focus our minds upon, that we don't cry out to Krishna simply to solve our minor physical problems, to give us some wealth or something that we desire. You've heard that song, of course. When people come, they sing, "Give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV, Om Jai Jagadisha Hari." Either a color TV or a house by the sea, depends what you want. We can call out for Krishna for so many different varieties of things, but we ourselves are being trained to call out for Krishna, to Krishna, for pure devotional service. So, pure devotional service, we think, what is the value of pure devotional service? I'm already doing so much service, now they want it to be pure. Not only do they want my service, I'm giving so much energy, but now they want me to become purely surrendered so I don't deviate and do anything for myself. It's only for the boss. Because we may not know or understand what pure devotional service means. Therefore, we have to learn What is the art of pure devotional service? What does it actually mean, not only theoretically, but what is the experience when we're actually in pure devotional service? And then the next thing is, what is pure devotional service? Loving service. That is, pure devotional service has certain qualities such as, it's for Krishna, it's only to please Krishna, it's not covered by fruit of desires and mental speculation or any other material conception. And it's done without any other motivation. So this is almost inconceivable, what it's talking about. But at least it means we chant Hare Krishna with some attention and then call out to Krishna happily. Those are words that probably somewhat within our level of experience. Happiness means something to us. Generally, happiness means the absence of anxiety. We don't, as conditioned souls, that we don't really know what happiness means. We may have heard the word many times. We may have even heard the word pleasure, but actually we have no idea what really pleasure means because we're unconscious of the spiritual energy. We are conscious of the material energy. Material energy just means different varieties of pain. If we accept the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, then not only do we have to accept the idea that we're right now, we've been eternally in illusion. That's a little hard for our false ego. That not only have we learned a little bit of illusion, but we've been eternally, practically, or since time immemorial, in illusion. And we're still in illusion. Although we changed our dresses or our address, still we're in illusion because we're, to some degree or another, misidentifying ourselves with this body. And not only do we misidentify ourselves with the body, but the illusion goes deeper and deeper. In the sense that we think we're the doer, we think we're so many things that we're actually not. And who we really are, we're unconscious of. And if we're lucky, if we're fortunate, we've studied this philosophy, we've chanted our rounds nicely, we've done so much service, we begin to realize that actually I'm a soul. I'm a spirit soul. I'm eternal. And that all the anxiety I'm going through, all the misconceptions that I'm attached to, they're all false. All the suffering I'm going through is just a waste of time. Not a waste of time in the sense that the suffering is inspiring us to become Krishna conscious. If we weren't suffering, we'd become very lazy and kick back and try to enjoy. But because we're somewhat aware of the fact that we're suffering, therefore generally we become inspired to try to make some advancement in Krishna consciousness. For the most part, even the devotees, when they first come, what they're really inspired by is not the idea of everlasting happiness, because for us, those things seem like a dream or a myth. But we practically are suffering. And why are we suffering? Usually due to our sinful activities. Illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, and a variety of other sinful activities that go along with those things. So because we suffer from those things, and because we're in ignorance, we don't know why we're suffering, and we see a few people jumping up and down on the street, they look pretty happy, happier than I do. Therefore, we want to find out, if I jump up and down the street too, I'll become happy. And then we find out I have to give up these sinful activities, and generally because we're so burnt out by the sinful activities, our senses are so dulled, we're so much in distress through our sinful activities, we'll do anything, even give up sinful activities. And then after giving up the sinful activities, suddenly we become very enthusiastic, we feel relief from the sinful activities, and we become very determined to make advancement in devotional service so I can become happier and happier. And then after we become a little purified, we start to notice we have material senses again. They become uncovered a little bit. Our material desires arise, we become aware of them, and then we start desiring sinful activities again, thinking that now my senses are purified, now I've gotten so much knowledge, now I can go out and commit sinful activities, and I'll know how to do it. the Hare Krishna movement has learned, taught me how to perform sinful activities in such a way as I won't get entangled. I'll follow all the three regular principles, no meat, fish, and eggs, and everything will be nice. I'll offer my food to Krishna, and I'll get the strength to do whatever I like to do now. And once in a while, I'll come for Janmasthami. Then after committing one going back to the material world trying to enjoy, one has to fall even deeper into illusion because one starts realizing, I'm not enjoying, I'm suffering because my consciousness is plaguing me that I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm going to suffer. So therefore one has to take even more intoxication so one can forget whatever his consciousness he had in Krishna consciousness. In other words, Maya is quite expert at what she's doing, and we're very, more or less, susceptible to the influence of Maya because we don't have much experience, for a long time at least, of what actually is reality. Therefore, to understand that we're an illusion is one thing, but to understand that we've never experienced happiness, that's another further thing, that there are things which go way beyond our experience, way beyond even our conception of what's going on, that we can't even begin to imagine what reality is like, the reality of pure happiness. Therefore, when we say Krishna consciousness is full of bliss, full of knowledge and eternal, we think, oh, that's nice. Just like when we hear that we're not this body, we think, oh, that's a nice philosophy, cute philosophy. Tell it to your friends. But to take it seriously, to actually live according to it, to actually realize that we're not the body, we're going to live forever, well, that's quite a different experience than actually just a little theory and a little experience. Because Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Lavate Puram. When one comes to that point, then he becomes prasanatma. He becomes always joyful. So who here can say, I'm always joyful? No scent of distress ever passes through my mind. I never lament for anything. No matter what happens to my body, I'm equally minded. No, I don't care whatever happened in the past. It makes no difference to me. Whatever is going to happen in the future makes absolutely no difference to me. I'm completely carefree. Situated on the spiritual platform of awareness. Anyone here can say that? Anyone here ever experienced a little bit of distress in their lives? A few devotees. The ladies more honest usually. And who here can say they see every living entity equally? All the ladies, all the men, all the animals, even the mosquito who comes to bite me, I see him equally, or her equally. So that is the platform, that's the preliminary platform before we begin pure devotional service, and that's the platform we're trying to act on. That's the beginning platform of neutrality, where one can begin to experience what reality is, what pleasure is. That comes way beyond Shraddha, which we just started to explain a little bit about Shraddha. And in the association of Sadhu Sangha, we begin to hear about these things and try to put them into practice by coming to class, for instance, or following a bhajan, bhajana kriya, anishtita bhajana kriya. And in anishtita bhajana kriya, for those who study Madhurya Kandambini, we find that there are many levels of consciousness, such as first one is alternating thick and thin. Sometimes it's very thick, and sometimes our devotional service is very thin. What's the Sanskrit for that? Anyone know? Thick, thin. And you know, alternating thick and thin. Then it comes from Vishuddha Vikalpa, Vishuddha Sangara, Vyuddha Sankalpa, such as trying to renounce things in the material world And the more we try to renounce them, the more we become attached to them. We're trying to give up things. I'm never going to think of this anymore. And then that's all we think about for the whole day. Whatever I was going to not think about, we think about giving it up. And then becoming more attached to what we didn't want to think about. Fasting on a fast day and only thinking about food during the whole day. Thinking about how glorious I am because I'm fasting. And all these other devotees, they're not very advanced because they're eating. They're sinful because they're not as advanced as I am. And soon I'll be able to eat like they are too. There are many varieties of these types of mentality. Niyama, kshama. Or the other one is making plans. So I'm going to go to Vrindavan, renounce everything, simply hear and chant. But it's so difficult to go to Vrindavan because it costs so much money. So I'm not going to get married. Maybe I should get married. My wife can go out and collect. She can make the money. But if I get a wife and I have to get kids and I may even have to work, she may force me to work. So maybe I just go to Vrindavan and renounce everything. But if I go there and I think about, you know, and I don't have enough money, I think about a wife, and then I'm going to have, you know, get into distress and the time of death, it won't be good. So maybe I should get married and we'll all move to Vrindavan and we'll learn how to collect there. So alternating between renunciation and detachment or attachment, and then just not making any decision, can't come to a conclusion, but not thinking about Krishna either. Our whole philosophy is based upon the fact how to always think about Krishna and not forget him. So in the midst of our bhajana kriya, if we're thinking about renunciation or the object of attachment and we never think about Krishna, then we're wasting our time. Or we're trying to renounce something and then thinking about it even more. That's another waste of time. We're trying to, when we get over that sometimes, we try to improve our devotional service, get up the same time every morning, chant our rounds in the same place, etc. Then we're also not, and sometimes being regulated for a few weeks and unregulated for some time more, up and down like a Ferris wheel, but not thinking about Krishna. Thinking about trying to get regulated. And then finally we become to a platform of a little steadiness, a little bit of that, be able to focus the mind a little bit upon Krishna, chant the holy name to Krishna a little bit, get a little ecstasy once in a while, and people say, oh, they're more advanced than I am, I surrender to you. Then they get gifts, money, adoration, profit, service, and then one thinks, yes, I made it, I'm a pure devotee, everyone should touch my feet, my life is successful. So that's called Taranga Rangini, enjoying the small waves. But that's far, far away from Krishna consciousness. Then one has to come to the platform of Nishta. And before that, to come to it, one has to give up the aparads. So it's Adal, Shada, Sadasanga, Kya, Bhajana, Kriya, Anartha, Nivritti. And there are different types of anarthas. Seva aparad, Dhamma aparad. Anartha is due to previous pious activities, due to previous impious activities. And then there's the most important for us, according to Madhuri Kandambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, is namaparad. We have to avoid the 10 offenses so we can chant the holy name purely with attention, calling out to Krishna with love. Then, practicing that, when we actually come to the platform, when we chant Hare Krishna, we remember Krishna's form, that's called Nishta. Then we finally begin to become a little more conscious of Krishna. Of course, in the other stages, we're trying to see how things are related to Krishna. That this is Krishna's cup, I have to use it for Krishna's service, or else Maya will burn me. That our philosophy is that Krishna Bahirmukha Boga Taravanchakare Nikatastamaya Dare Chapatiya Dare. That Maya, as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, then Maya is standing right by and she slaps us down. Of course, because we're already down, she doesn't, when we get slapped down, we don't, it's not a big fall. Because we're already down, therefore, she slaps us, we don't really fall down very much. Besides that, we're used to Maya slapping us. It's kind of like we take it as a love slap. But the idea is that as soon as I forget that this is Krishna's cup, I want to use it for my enjoyment, then Maya slaps, she burns me. But I'm so covered, it feels like, you know, a hot summer day, that's all. But one has to first of all learn how to, that everything here belongs to Krishna, and everything here is not meant for my enjoyment. Usually we pick out a few things for our enjoyment, and then we make our plans how to enjoy it. House, wife, color TV, house by the sea, etc. But these things all belong to Krishna, and everything's meant for Krishna's service. We're trying to learn that through the process of regulated devotional service. And not only that, praying for that consciousness. A Hare Krishna mantra, please engage me in your service, also means not to utilize your energy in the service of my sense gratification, to become conscious of you. And when we come to Nishta, when we finally call out to Krishna with some happiness, then we begin to remember Krishna. Krishna has a form. He has a flute. He has a peacock feather. Hare Krishna means that. It doesn't mean simply some letters of the alphabet. Then, when one comes to the platform of Ruchi, one can actually feel Krishna's presence. When one chants the holy name, one's spiritual senses are awakened and can actually feel pleasure every time one chants Hare Krishna. The same, similar pleasure is there when we taste an apple, a nice crisp apple, we get some taste. But that taste is nothing compared to the soothing taste of the holy name when one actually tastes it, because at every second the burning desire within our heart of lust, anger, greed, illusion, and all its corollaries like forgetfulness and bewilderment of or loss of intelligence, that all goes away as one gets the cooling taste of the holy name. And everything has a variety. Krishna has his taste, Balaram has his taste, Srimati Radharani has her taste. There's unlimited varieties of taste that Krishna associates in Krishna and his expansions. Matter of fact, everything has its taste. It all becomes very tasteful. When our senses are purified, everything becomes tasty, and then as that taste increases, one cannot forget Krishna even for a moment, or how everyone and everything is related to Krishna in pure transcendental love. And when that's multiplied millions of times and becomes thicker and thicker, it turns into bhava, where one's natural feelings towards Krishna are awakened. And as bhava increases in intensity, bhava is considered to be one atom and the drop of the ocean of prema. As that turns into the ocean of prema, then one begins real devotional service. And when prema gets multiplied and intensified millions of times, it turns into things like sneha, which is affection for Krishna, then mana, counter love, then mana turns into things like raga, different raga, anuraga, raga, then bhava, different type of bhava, and then mahabhava. So here we're hearing about mahabhava. Of course, we all understand this completely, what's going on here. Because I'm sure we've all passed through all the preliminary stages, so it's just second nature to us, hearing about mahabhava. No, actually, we have no conception of all. At least I could say, I have no idea what's going on here whatsoever, but I was asked to give class anyhow. So I decided I can give class and explain that I have no idea what's going on here. I did learn something, that bees have six legs, though. Besides that, I can't say what's going on here. But maybe someone else can explain. Now, this is the most sublime experience possible. If we came actually to the platform of prema, or even a shakti, just to explain a little bit of shakti, which is practically insignificant compared to prema. It's not even, you know, close to anything like prema. But there, one remembers Krishna constantly, 24 hours a day, even in one's sleep. One cannot help but think of Krishna's pastimes. And even for a moment, the mind withdraws from Krishna and forgets. Immediately the mind goes back again. Just like for ourselves, we can compare it. Even for a moment we remember Krishna, then immediately the mind withdraws from him and forgets him. So this is completely the opposite. That there on that platform, Maya is just like an idea. On the platform of Baba, Maya is just like a dream. Just like we can remember our dream last night, we don't take it very seriously. We know it's a dream. So in the stage of Baba, the material existence is just a dream. It's not like a reality whatsoever. And at the stage of prema, there's no even conception of dream. Everything is simply one is immersed in Krishna's pastimes. This is just another pastime that we're seeing of Krishna. So what to speak of trying to figure out what mana, what sneha, mana, and there's pranaya, raga, anuraga, bhava, and mahabhava. And then there's different stages of mahabhava. So this is the ujjala rasa. This is the highest stage of ujjala rasa, feeling transcendental separation in the platform of mahabhava. Anyhow, when anyone can explain this to me, we'll surrender to you to find it. And we have to go through a few stages, but this is our aspiration to one day be able to read the Bhagavatam and actually experience what's going on in the Bhagavatam, especially this 10th canto. For now, we can try to remember and respectfully approach it and realize how exalted it is, and just offer our respects to these pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Any questions? Yes. How does what?
How
illusion develops from anger? Oh, illusion is part of anger. Delusion, you mean. Delusion. Automatically, just you don't have to sit down with a pencil and figure it out. How am I going to, my anger is going to evolve into delusion. It's just a further manifestation of illusion, delusion. As soon as we start contemplating the objects of the senses, then immediately lust develops. And lust has two aspects, avaratmika shakti and pragatmika shakti. So immediately we're covered. And immediately we're being pushed by the illusory energy. And then, from there comes, as we satisfy lust, then the result is that we feel satisfied, we feel relieved from the lust, which has pushed us, and then we become greedy. Let me experience that some more, because the lust will arise again, and become greedy to satisfy lust again. And then, when I can't satisfy my lust, I get frustrated in between. So anger automatically arises. From anger, because my consciousness is further covered and I can't see things clearly, therefore whatever I'm trying to figure out, what went wrong, why I feel so disturbed, then I see things from a different perspective than reality, and I start blaming others for my predicament. I forget why I'm actually bewildered like this. Then as I act according to that delusion, then I forget. So I forget even why anything I remembered that's real, I start forgetting that. My memory becomes bewildered. And because I have no real memory and I'm completely bewildered, therefore my intelligence gets further and further covered. And then I fall deeper into the material energy, deeper into ignorance. So it just happens. Just like what happens when you have a thin cloud, you can see the sun. But as the cloud gets piled on more and more, then the sun disappears. Then you start imagining what's going on, the sun's light. So as lust covers us deeper and deeper, from the gross to the subtle more and more, then we naturally, all these things get covered. Senses, mind, intelligence get further covered, and our false ego increases. Anything else? Jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.